You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, the Midsummer Music Festival celebrated 42 years of festivities this past weekend, marking yet another unforgettable lineup of local and national talents. The three-day festival held in Wet'suwet'en territory at the Smithers Fairgrounds is a place where families and friends can gather around a deep love of community and music. CICK News was on the scene to chat with organizers and musicians about what makes the Midsummer Music Festival so magical. Stay with us.
It's Ryan Whedon.
And you are?
Oh, human mostly. Grounds coordinating human at this festival and a couple other different roles throughout the organization. I'm also president of the society and I'm not focusing on anything other than grounds at this festival, which is really nice.
That's a good plan. Ryan, tell me, what are we doing here? What's going on? This is 42 what?
42 years of a whole bunch of volunteers putting in a ton of work to make a festival happen. 1984 was our first festival, and they had one stage and did sound behind the band from the back of the stage. And as a ragtag group of volunteers that managed to put on the very first festival, and after 42 years, we're still a ragtag group of volunteers putting on a festival, but we do sound from in front of the band now.
Right on. What's going on this year? It seems like after so many years, how do you guys stay fresh?
Oh, you know, I think that our performers committee does a really good job focusing on new and upcoming acts and getting the people in the to. That are gonna be relevant to the crowds that show up here. And so that's a lot of local people and some people from out of town, acts that you may have heard of, acts that you haven't. And I think that they do a really good job putting on the whole picture from our stages.
Cool. This year, who in particular stands out in your mind of some of the performances that are exciting to see, that people are looking forward to seeing this evening?
Well, actually, Bria Rose and Thorns just took the stage, and I've been watching Bria for online for many years because I met her at an open mic at Bulkley Valley Brewery, and I thought she was a great performer, and I was so happy to see her go on tour and get a full band together and see that growth. And I actually haven't seen her since, so it was nice to say hi. And nice to be able to watch her performance. Last night, I was really impressed by the Los Gringos. That's one of my favorite acts in town to see. They are such an eclectic kind of Latin themed, but all so many different genres influencing what they do. And it's just a really great show and so many people on stage. And it's really fun to watch them.
I guess so we're still got quite a bit of festival to go here, but what kind of fills you with joy every year when you come back to festival?
Definitely the volunteerism and the people. I find that a lot of times when we try to tell people about the opportunity to come down and volunteer, the way it gets said is, hey, volunteer and get your pass for free, which I think really undersells what we're offering as far as that experience goes. The experience itself is worth the price of admission. The getting in for free is really the bonus. We have so much fun at the Workbees. We had a Workbee every Saturday in June, and we had a bunch of people down here each time, really happy with the turnout for the volunteers, and it was just a lot of fun every time. So I think it's definitely the volunteerism and being a part of making the thing happen that is just bigger than any one person. There's so much work goes into doing this that it's just really fun being one cog in that machine.
Cool. All right. Happy festival.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Cheers.
Ray Jean, what are you doing here at festival?
This year I am head of hospitality, which means I am cooking for all the performers and hardcore volunteers.
And what does it take to feed all these volunteers all weekend long?
A lot of extra volunteers. you're looking probably at, I don't know, it's quantities? 40, a lot. Our numbers are up for performers and volunteers this year. I believe our performer count this year was close to 285 performers at the festival. So they get a pass to actually be fed all weekend as well, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. One day baking 1,500 cookies and about 90 pounds of cake. That was for desserts, and then cookies, of course, are for backstage. I've been here since Tuesday, 12 hours a day, just prepping and stuff, because, of course, a lot of my people that come and help me, I have them slicing, dicing, and doing dishes. Doing dishes is huge, because, of course, we do all in as much environmental as we can, so everything is composted, it gets taken away to a composter, everything is recycled, and we don't use disposable dishes, it's all hard dishes in place. The numbers are up from last year, and I'm working only with one oven, so that's fun.
What do you love about doing this, because it's different, it's not just, like running a restaurant, you're having fun, it seems.
Yes, and we don't get paid, so of course. I am a firm believer that communities doesn't exist or they don't have these sorts of events without volunteer. And I think everybody should try and put into their lives a certain amount of hours to volunteer every year in their community, because then you get events like this that are affordable for your family. It's not $125 per person per day to come into this festival, because it's volunteer run, which really cuts down on the cost for people to actually come to it. And we have a great time in the kitchen, right? We eat, Kit Kats and snacks. it's a lot of hours, for a head coordinator to put in, but I've got the skills to do it, so why wouldn't I? Yeah.
All right, Ray Jean, thanks so much. Enjoy festival.
I am. I'll be singing at noon somewhere on a stage somewhere, so I gotta take off to go do that. So I gotta make sure it's organized and it can run itself for a little bit while I go and sing on the stage.
Naturally.
Well, yeah. Food and music. That's how I do my life.
My name is Molly Molman. Yeah, so I'm here with a band that I'm leading. I came up with my musical partner and close friend, Taylor Malosh, who's a wonderful singer and songwriter. And we came up from Vancouver and we played a bunch of our originals with some local folks and a little bit of Joni Mitchell that we arranged and Roberta Flack. So we had a great time.
Awesome. You were just playing here at the third stage with your mom. And a bunch of others, so we see where the talent comes from. But you also gave out an award this year, which you received a few years ago. Tell me a little bit about what that award was about.
Yeah, so the Marshall Boucher Memorial Award is a really great award for young musicians who are planning on going to post-secondary or pursuing some sort of musical education. So I was so honored to be the first recipient of that award, and that really helped financially to pay for my studies in my second year of university. So it was really great to feel the warmth and love from the community while I was all the way down south, and just to kind of know that the Valley has your back, and felt very supported. Yeah.
One of the things is, you know, your homegrown talent, but you've gone away, and as was mentioned earlier, you got this amazing jazz voice. But now you've come home, you're here at Midsummer. How does it feel to, you know, come full circle and, you know, get all the support that you had when you were in school here and growing up? How did this musical career get going for you? What does it mean to be here now?
It feels incredibly special. It's so nice to be back home and slow down and talk to folks like yourself. And I feel so lucky to have grown up here and had the musical education that I had from the wonderful Michael Dugan-Smith and Jordan Daviau as well, and I should say Sharon Carrington, who was my mentor. It really, this community is so strong, and I didn't understand the depth of that until I moved away, and Vancouver is so big and there's not as much community. And now that I'm back, I feel so grateful to have been in this environment that fostered my, I guess, my music when I was younger. Yeah. I don't think it would have been the same without that support. Yeah. So it feels very, very special to be back. Yeah.
You know, this place has a track record of producing a lot of musicians, good musicians, musicians that move on, leave the valley and build these wonderful careers. For the youth, for some of the community players that you're with and the school band, you know, what's your kind of message? What's some advice to have for young musicians that are hoping or wanting to follow their dream of getting deeper into music?
Right. I feel like I want to definitely focus on young musicians, but young female musicians. I grew up going to this festival, and you know, over the years it's been diversified and there are way more women on stage, but I remember feeling so inspired and hopeful when I would see women up on stage. And I just want to say to all the young players out there who are women or non-binary or queer, like, keep going, find your community, and be respectful to yourself, be respectful to others, and always keep pushing. And community, I just have to emphasize, community is the most important thing you will find. So when you find those people, whether it be in your music circle or where else, that's what's going to keep you going. And there are so many great environments out there for you to be in. Yeah.
Last thing for you, what's your favorite piece about Midsummer?
Oh, well, this year, I feel like I was just at main stage and the Smithers Community Band was playing and all the kids were out with their jellyfish, and I just felt like it was a magical moment, and you really don't get those moments in the big city, so maybe that was my most magical moment this weekend. Yeah.
Right on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan.
Connie Calder.
And Connie, where are we at here?
Well, I've been 45 years, over 45 years in the business. I played here many, many years ago. I played here, actually I did a concert since I played the festival here. So it's not been like maybe 10 or 15 years. No, it's been quite a few years actually.
It all yeah, melts together.
Because of friends of mine, like Calvin Cairns and Oliver Shore, come up and teach violin up here. This is a really neat community in my mind. And you know, Mark Perry, who I just think is a fabulous writer. I really think he's a great writer. So I don't know what's going on in this valley, what's in the water, but there's lots of music and lots of stuff. And this festival is really impressive. You know, it's got lots of people. It happens every year. Every one of these is a volunteer. There's not, people push together and, you know, and they're getting younger people in. I think it's really an impressive festival. And I was thrilled to come because I haven't been up in so long.
I know, Connie, I know that this is what you do. You've been at, you know, hundreds of, probably hundreds of festivals. What sets Midsummer apart from other festivals you've been to?
Well, it's a spectacular, beautiful spot in the world. It's got mountains. And for me as a prairie person, they're a little in the distance, which is good. I'm not so nervous then. But it's, look at this amazing fairground. Look at this fairground. It's just so of this place. And there's, you know, how there's horses, there's cowboys, there's little kids, older kids, big kids, people from all kind of walks of life that come to a festival like this, and that's what makes it interesting. You're not just preaching to the choir. You, And for me, like, there's a whole generation that's never seen me before, so I get the element of surprise. And there's a big contingent of, especially women, because when I started out, there weren't very many of us singing and writing from that perspective. So a lot of those women have been my fans, and wonderfully so, for many years. And, you know, have in the past and probably now fought to get me to come here, which I am forever grateful. But these parts of the world, this is where the wild is, you know, this is the parts of the world, like flying in, you know, you see, you know, endless amounts of stuff. And there's not that much wild left in this world. For me, the boreal forest is, I wrote a song once called There's Nothing Like a Lake, and it's, you know, there's nothing like that forest of pine, the, you know, wild heart of this country of mine. And I feel that this really is up here. It's maybe it's because every time when I had holidays as a kid, I would head up into the bush in northern Saskatchewan. So the minute I see like live bait signs or pine trees or something, I just feel like I've had a holiday. I think it's a privilege to get to come to a beautiful place like this. It is. And it's a long way, and they make you pay an enormous amount of money to get up here. But it is, these are amazing spots in this country. And I, you know, it's one of the reasons I love Canada, is for the places where there's not a lot of things, not a lot of people. I think that's the, you know, that's what makes this country spectacular. I'm from the prairies where there's not a lot of people. And there's so many parts of this world that get overlooked. And like Saskatchewan, you know, it's like the place on the way to Banff or more exciting places, or you want to go to Toronto or wherever stuff is really happening. And yet there's an amazing cultural thing happening here that's really great. And it's important, and these lives are, you know, for me, I guess as a Saskatchewan person, I want to write about those things. I want to write about those lives. And I want to write about things that people connect with on a real level. And in the folk music scene, I was able to do that. I didn't have to write about one kind of thing or sing in a certain way, get whatever I liked. And I, you know, it's probably why I haven't made $1 million, but I also have had, I'm still having this amazing career. My sons are now musicians. They play with us oftentimes. They didn't get to come this time, but you know, it's, I raised my family in folk music. Some of these women have probably babysat my sons somewhere along the line while I was on stage and came off. And that, you know, what a wonderful way to, you know, to introduce kids to different ideas, different cultures, different sounds, different music. I feel privileged to be part of it. And I, you know, we get to come up to this. This is a, you know, this is amazing river just roaring away out there. And I go, oh, that's the river, okay. But I'm looking at it going, wow. And this goes all the way to the Skeena, to the ocean, to the river, to the sea. These things we take for granted in the world now are, you know, they're rare. We should be treasuring them every step of the way. And, you know, and I see these kids, you know, running around and something. I think, you know, this is a world where so many places kids are scared and afraid and blown up and, you know, and have lost everything. And here's a place where they have everything and they feel free to just want them. People are watching. Yeah, come on, you know, people are watching them and they're running around with their little umbrellas and stuff like that. That ordinary thing is not so ordinary. And I think for me, that's, when I see that, this is a wonderful place to be, you know? And there's lots of different cultures, different kinds of, there's different songs, there's lots of musicians too, like from local area musicians. Like the woman who sang before me was really good. I couldn't listen to all of her songs, but her voice is great. And, you know, that's all levels of music in a community, from community bands to fiddlers to young people to people that are writing songs to high school students that are singing their things. That's all part of making a really strong fabric in a community. And in this day of, you know, screens and things and distancing people, this is real, you know, this is real contact to contact, you know. And that's I think it's more precious even now. I think it's more important now, like as an older person I'm looking at. I think it's, and even when I talk to my sons, you know, like trying to get people out to connect, like people are, they're keeping away, they're looking at their screens and stuff. This is a place you can't do that. This is a place you can't do that. Everything, you got, you know, you're not paying attention to the outside, you could die. You know, it could kill you, the weather could kill you, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. And there's, I think being surrounded by things that are greater than you are or will ever be, and yet you're part of it. I think it's why I love the prairies. I look at the sky and I know I'm part of that universe, and yet I'm significant enough to be part of that universe, and yet I'm so tiny and small. And I think that enriches a person every time they are looking at that, looking at stuff that's not man-made, that's way bigger and beautiful too. You know, to look on beauty every day, to look on beauty, you're lucky. You're lucky if you can do that. You know, lots of things happen in a person's life, but if you can look up and go, holy cow, look at that beautiful thing.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting. I just wrote a song about, because I wanted to write a song from, this is on the latest album, but I wanted to write a song about where I'm from, because I'd shown a picture of the Grasslands National Park, which I just love, and prairies. It's real prairie, virgin prairie and all that. Yeah. And somebody says, oh, Calder, only you could find that beautiful. And I thought, you know, and them's fighting words, basically. But you know, it's not all that nothing, all that space. That's why we love this place, you know. We don't need you to fill it up with your junk, you know. Look at this. Look at around here. And how long, you know. I'm sure the older people here, the grandparents are thinking, oh, it's changed so much. It used to be wilder. It used to be, but still got that. You could wander off and something could eat you, you know. I think that's a good. I think it's a good thing to think about. Consider.
Thank you so much, Connie.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKNews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.
Time,